have wounded knee.
I am awake.
A kudigi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. And my colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss national and Twin City Native American news and events. And as you all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And I want to say this portion is brought to, of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic. They're partnering with American Indian Cancer Society, and they're hosting a vaccine event on Friday, September 10th, between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Hey, how's it going there, Lewis? It's you and me. I feel like we should be on vacation too, or something. What's up, Lewis?
You know, we without Ogma and Wendy, they are the foundations of the show. But we'll do the best we can, Robert.
That's right.
And we appreciate everyone being here.
Yeah, right on. And we have Robert Lilligren going to be on today too. So it's going to be an all-male show. So, you know, don't hold this against us. We always walk strong behind our women, and we pray for them, and we respect them dearly. So we will miss them, right, Lewis?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a bit of a charm that's lost when they're not here, but we're going to try to make that up the best that we can.
Well, and not only that, we have to be at our best behavior still, because we're walking in a good way and not two goofball males on a podcast here. We have a radio show to do. And with that in mind, Lewis, I want to go to you. You're stepping in, as you have already many times. Stepping in with the news all over Turtle Island. So why don't you let us know what's happening around Turtle Island?
Absolutely. I first want to say, you know, thank you to Ogma Gnu Akwe. She does such a great job with our news segment, time and time again, putting in effort. It's a lot of work. And I want to give honor to her before I continue with the segment. I also want to say, how mataku yapi to all my Lakota people out there. It is the first day of Patanyetu, and Patanyetu means autumn. So September 1st is the changing of the seasons for the Lakota people. We call it Chawan Pegiwi, which is the brown leaves moon, 13 moon seasons. And I want to honor that as well before I start. The United Nations issued letters regarding violations of Anishinaabe human rights from Enbridge Line 3, request measures from the United States. The United States Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, and they're known as CURD, it's an acronym, has taken extraordinary measures to request a response from the United States regarding the allegations of human rights violations against the Anishinaabe associated with the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline construction on March 21st, 2021. Honor the Earth, as we're well versed here with Wonono LaDuke, and Gnu Collective submitted a request for early warning measures to CURD as part of an international strategy to alleviate the human rights violations perpetrated by the United States and the state of Minnesota as to construction of Enbridge Line 3 pipeline. This petition requests immediate intervention from CURD and details the continuing violations of Indigenous people's rights, including the right to free, prior, and informed consent, and the right to health, the right to culture, and the right to security and to be free from violence. On August 31st, CURD published a letter to the United States government dated August 25th requesting that the U.S. respond to these allegations. The letter notes, among other things, that these rights violations would amount to a violation of International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, ICURD, which the U.S. has signed and ratified. The letter requests that the U.S. government provides information on how it guarantees the right to free, prior, and informed consent, prevents adverse impacts of the pipeline on the Anishinaabe and their culture, health, environment, guarantees the right to an effective remedy of these rights violations, and prevents violence against the Indigenous women and excessive forces against protesters that we've seen time and time again, Robert. Given focus to treaty rights violations, a first for CURD in engagements with the U.S., the committee also requested that the U.S., quote, provide details on the status of the treaties concluded between the Anishinaabe indigenous peoples and the governments of the United States of America, and measures adopted to guarantee respect for the rights of Anishinaabe under such treaties, specifically usufructuary rights upheld by the Supreme Court ruling in Minnesota versus the Mille Lacs Band of Indians. CERD asked that the U.S. responds to its query by October 15th, 2021. Quote, we are grateful that the United Nations has responded to our request and recognize the incalculable harms from Line 3 expansion to the Anishinaabe people, treaty territory, and the Manuban rice, wild rice, says Winona LaDuc, Executive Director of Honor the Earth. We hope that the United States takes the CERD inquiry seriously and meets deadlines. Response to support to Line 3 from the Biden administration in the state of Minnesota has led to a worsening situation for people, water, land, and our sacred wild rice. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be an Indigenous Environmental and Community Leadership react to the UN letter about the human rights abuses of Indigenous people in Line 3. Tomorrow, Friday, September 3rd, Indigenous Environmental and Allied Activists Winona LaDuc, Tara Hauska, and Kate Finn will be hosting a press conference in response to the recent letter sent to the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, CERD, to the United States regarding allegations of human rights violations against the Anishinaabe associated with Line 3. August 31st, as I just read, that the letter was sent to the government. The letter requested the U.S. government provide information on how it guarantees right to free, prior, and informed consent. This press call with Indigenous environmental and community leaders reacting to the United Nations letter to the United States regarding allegations of human rights violations against the Anishinaabe associated with Enbridge Line Pipeline. And this, again, is tomorrow, Friday, the 3rd at 9:30 a.m. Central Minnesota Standard Time. On the other news and the home front, on the what we call the PNW, the travelers of the Haida Gwaii must now pledge to treat their land and its people with respect. This is kind of an interesting story, Robert. Introduced in July, the pledge was developed with guidance from hereditary leaders, knowledge keepers, community members, and the health authority. Its concept is modeled on successful pledges in other places, including New Zealand and Palau, which is in Hawaii. It uses a website to teach visitors about the traditions of Haida values that govern how to behave when someone enters their territory. And I think this is a great story, Robert, because this highlights, nation and nation sovereignty, and as well as teaching citizens how to act on, tribal nations' land and how to conduct themselves with respect. Quote, it means when Haida people see garbage left by tourists, we pick it up so it won't harm our land. I mean, very basic things were taught in third grade, Robert. Yeah. The goal and promises such as the Haida Gwaii pledge is to take a new approach in settling expectations for visitor behavior rather than waiting for people to do the wrong thing and reacting. Also, it says it creates conflicts. They are encouraging visitors to see a place from a local perspective and clean up their own garbage, Robert. This is such a important thing when it comes to sovereignty. Real quick story here. We want to highlight it. This is from Elijah McClain's death. You may have been aware that cops and paramedics involved with Elijah McClain's death charged with homicide. August 24th, 2019, McClain was walking home from work wearing a ski mask, which he wore to keep himself warm because he was anemic, after a resident called the police because McClain looked, quote unquote, suspicious. Police officers and Nathan Woodward Randy, they basically charge these people with homicide. And I think that's a great thing going forward here, Robert.
Yeah, walking in neighborhood, being a black person is what they probably were charging him with, and ended up murdering him. So that's good. It took a couple years, and justice prevails. Pini Gigi for stepping up and doing the news for Ogama. Up next, we have Robert Lilligren of NADCI, and we're always excited to see Robert. And we'll be right back after this short break, and I will say stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
In Minnesota, perinatal and postpartum mothers have legal protections to help keep them safe and healthy in the workplace. That means exclusions from heavy lifting, safe spots for breastfeeding, and more. The Women's Economic Security Act protects the rights of pregnant and postpartum women to work safely during pregnancy and to express breast milk at work. The Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry is here to help you and to protect your rights. Call 800-342-5354 or visit dli.mn.gov/newparents.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
Oh, this, sorry about that. This portion is brought to you by the Minnesota Women Indian Sexual Assault Coalition. Sorry about that, Robert.
No problem. It just shows that we need the women here, and you know, we're just doing that over and over again. You know,
for those that didn't see, he pointed at me like you know, Lord of the Rings, and I was, you know, I just like was shocked. So that's
yeah. You choked on that one, Lewis. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to practice another day. Maybe we should practice the show beforehand. I don't know.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. Take the training wheels off, right?
Right. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, our weekly Thursday person, and he's with the Native American Community Development Institute here. And we talk about local, but also what's really great for you people out there in Madison and in Chicago. We talk national things, too. And I talked to the owner of Devil's Radio, and he said that our numbers are doubled in the last week, so it's all about the guests, Lewis. I tell you that. It's all about the guests. It's not my tomfoolery that's getting us these ratings.
Yeah.
Welcome, Robert. Good to see you. It looks like you're outside.
Yeah, bonjour. I just lost the sound, so I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, now I can hear you. Great. Yeah, bonjour. I'm sitting outside on my patio here. I set up. Now it's starting to sprinkle, so we'll hopefully the weather will hold.
Yeah. It'll be kind of.
I'd push back just a little. I think it's you, Robert, that's driving listeners. So yeah, take credit.
Well, I have a great voice, but I can't read and I can't pronounce names. So there is that. But I appreciate it, Robert. I always love having you on because we're roughly the same age and we talk about things from, you know, I'm a child of the 60s and you are too. And all the things that have changed in our lifetime for the better. And then we love to talk about our youth.
And I remember growing up in the 60s, Robert, and it was all peace, love, and cosmic consciousness. And we were kids, you know, but it was all there. And I bought it. I thought, oh, that makes sense to me, you know. But watching the Vietnam War on TV every night and the body count and all of that, I thought, yeah, I think peace, love, and cosmic consciousness, you know, sounds more appealing than war.
You know, it's interesting too, and I don't mean to like start taking a change here in the topics here, but I was brought up that same way in the count of Vietnam, the nightly news. We killed 100 of them, and they killed 90 of us, so we're winning the war. And I thought everybody was watching the same news as I did, and I couldn't believe how people got behind the murder of over a half a million people in 1992 with the bombing by Bush 1. I thought I was in an upside-down world, and I guess it just showed me at a fairly young age that we all don't think alike. We all have different perspectives on things.
Yeah, I mean, that was traumatizing, right? That bombing, mm-hmm. It just, yeah. I think you and I are a lot alike in that way, you know. And, so the Vietnam War was the first war that was on TV, right? And so we saw it. It was in our homes every day. All my sisters had those POW bracelets, you know. And I thought the whole lesson there was that war is bad.
Right.
It kills people. But, yeah, we don't all learn it the same way, I guess.
And we're still kind of fighting that right now because, Biden's getting a big pushback from a lot of people, and even friends of mine. But I'm thinking, let's get out of this 20-year war because I've heard, I remember hearing that out of the, I don't even know how many years, the 246 years of this nation, we've been at war like 230 years of it or some unbelievable percentage.
Right. And now look at war in the 21st century, right? I mean, the Afghan war is a perfect example. It was never going to end well. There wasn't going to be a clean way to leave that country. You know, now at least we're out and we can figure out what the war looks like now. But yeah, I remember through it, you know, again, we're about the same age and I think we're really similar thinkers, but kind of coming to that realization in my young adulthood that we're a warrior nation. We're an aggressor, you know, and then realizing what this country's actually built on, right? Stolen land, stolen labor. I mean, deeply embedded crimes against humanity, you know? And so no wonder we struggle, right?
You know, Robert, I served in the United States Navy, and I'm pretty proud of that. But I served with a bunch of heroes, and I served with a couple people that never made it home, from being their deployment. IEDs, improvised explosive device, was like the thing du jour. And I always think about why we join. And a lot of us join because we are middle class, lower middle class people, and we want to make improvements to our life. We want to go to school. We want to improve who we are. And again, you know, when we think about corporations and government and why we're there 20 years later, I think to myself, I have such that empty feeling in my gut of like, you know, why did we sacrifice so much of our future of these amazing people that just wanted to better themselves for literally oil and political reasons, much like Vietnam.
Mm. You know, Louis, I just lift up your service and really honor you for that and the people you served with, and especially those that didn't come back. And it's never for me, it's never about the soldiers. The soldiers aren't making these big strategic decisions and about where we're going and why. So I really want to honor you, your colleagues, others who serve, and as we know in the community, but it's one of those things that folks outside the community don't know. Our people serve at a higher rate than any other group in this country. And I think that's about place, right? This is our land and we're going to defend it. And so I really honor you. I honor you. I honor your service.
I think, and I do too, Louis, and my father was in World War II and the Korean War, which again, you know, Robert, not, worrying about other things as a young teenager and not putting my math in which wars, but that was an 8-year difference between wars. I mean, my father was married and had a house and a job, and then he was called back for the Korean War. I always kind of thought of them as them being back to back. But there was an 8-year gap there, and that really blows my mind that he had to go back in the Air Force and serve. what a warrior he was. One of the things Lewis said, Robert, I wanted you to touch on too, is that we're seeing all this equipment, just like Vietnam and all the other wars, that we just left there. So that tells me, like, the who's making the money here in these wars on the back of our young people? You know, who's making all this money? We've just left billions and billions of dollars of equipment there.
Right. Yeah. And Lewis touched on this as well. A lot of ways it's about money, right? And just the equipment that we're arming our enemies, you know, the equipment that's left. You know, my understanding is, and I certainly have no insight into this, but especially in Afghanistan and in Middle Eastern cultures, you know, there's a lot of cash that goes into those nations from our country, because that's how stuff gets done. And so that's our wealth, right? We're struggling here. You know, we have crippling poverty in many of our native nations. But, you know, so that's where the money went, right? It didn't go into our nations.
Well, I'm not a mathematician, but I was like, okay, let's not build one B-1 bomber at $1 billion and feed everybody in this country. Just one bomber. Not a 100 or 10 or how many of there have. Just don't build one for $1 billion and feed and house our poor.
Right. Yep. Or spread that around, right? And that gets into the economy from the consumer level. We have a consumer-based economy here. Feed the consumer so that it filters up and enriches more people in our country. But if we three ran the world, I think it would be a very different place.
Well, I know, you know, money is the root of all evil, and that's an old, old saying. And I know I finally learned, Robert and Lewis, that if I give what I give away, I always get back tenfold. And it's taken me to be an older person to really live by that and realize that. That it's just an object, and, you know, give it away to keep it. You know, that's a way AA people, like I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict. That's the only way we stay sober. And I think that's the only way we stay sane too.
Right. I remember hearing at a conference, a national conference, there was a young sister from a Pacific Northwestern tribe, and we're talking about economic development, food sovereignty as economic development. And she said something that just stuck with me, and I use it all the time. And, you know, she said in the Western culture, in U.S. capitalism, you're judged by how much you amass, you know, how much wealth you keep, how much you have. She said in indigenous cultures, your wealth is determined by how much you give away. And to me, that's such a fundamental difference. It explains a lot.
Well, you know, this reminds me of the talks we used to have before we pre-recorded our segments on Saturday, when we used to do our Saturday show. I appreciate this, and it's been great. Can you stick on for another segment, and I'll ask you what's going on in the Avenue and nationally instead of turning it into my opinion show. But I really appreciate the conversation.
Happy to stay. If it starts raining, I might have to dash inside, but happy to stay.
Well, it's live StreamYard on YouTube. We'd love to see a little rain on you, but hey, we'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Robert Lilligren and Lewis. Stay with us. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up, and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Over 14 million Americans are uninsured during the worst pandemic in over 100 years. A majority of Americans who were hospitalized for COVID are people of color. Healthcare for All Minnesota says it's time for inequalities to end for healthcare access and treatment. Crooner Supper Club is hosting Papa John Colstead and the Hot Club of East Lake for a benefit night for Healthcare for All Minnesota on Thursday, September 9th at 6:30. Stop by for a delicious dinner and a night of jazz, swing, and blues at the outdoor Belvedere stage with its stunning views of Moore Lake. A percentage of the proceeds for tickets, food, and beverages will be donated to Healthcare for All Minnesota. Purchase your tickets at hca-mn.org. While you're there, browse the website, subscribe to their email list, and join the mission of getting high-quality healthcare to every Minnesotan. Again, that's a night of jazz Thursday, September 9th at 6:30 at Crooner Supper Club in Fridley to benefit Healthcare for All Minnesota. Tickets and details at hca-mn.org. And if you can't attend, please consider making a donation to help get health care to all Minnesotans at hca-mn.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hello, Minnesota. This is Tom Hartman, and you can catch me every weekday from 11 to 2 right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's smart radio for smart people.
Hi, this is Brian, owner of AirSeal Tech, Minnesota's premier insulation and air quality specialist. As the summer heats up, are you noticing that your home is uncomfortably hot and humid? Those issues can negatively impact your comfort as well as your health. AirSeal Tech is here to help by offering fair and accurate assessments of home comfort solutions with a no-pressure estimate. We can also help you save big money on your energy bills. Our goal at AirSeal Tech is to make you comfortable in your house and make sure the air is clean and healthy to breathe. AirSeal Tech uses state-of-the-art testing and diagnostic equipment to make sure we find the best solutions to make sure our customers are comfortable and healthy in their homes. Remember, if you're not testing, you're just guessing. As Minnesota's only Building Performance Institute Gold Star contractor, you can be assured of exceptionally high-quality service. Give AirSeal Tech a call today at 612-888-3664. Mention you heard about us on AM 950, and all testing will be absolutely free of charge. That's AirSeal Tech.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on stronghartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for showers and thunderstorms overnight with a low around 61, Friday cloudy with a high around 68, and Saturday sunny with a high near 73. Have AirSeal Tech, Minnesota's premier insulation contractor, provide a free no-obligation inspection on your home's insulation health. During summer, an improperly sealed attic could be showering your family with mold, spores, allergens, dust, and more. Call 612-888-3664. That's AirSeal Tech.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And Lewis, what portion is this brought to you by?
This portion is brought to you by the... I'm sorry about that. This portion is brought to you by Howling Jay Selby's. That's what it is. Not Howling Fools. That's our next segment. Oh my goodness. I can't wait till Wendy's back.
You know, it's not fair, Robert, but I kind of did that on purpose because I didn't see he was paying attention, but that was a mean trick. And, you know, we just, again, to show everybody that we need Ogama and Wendy to keep the boat afloat here. And speaking of boat afloat, it's raining here in St. Paul, and it looks like you just came inside, Robert.
Yeah, it just started raining here in South Minneapolis on Franklin Avenue. So, yep,
So we're here with Robert Lilligren, who's with the Native American Community Development Institute, which is NADCI. And also, Robert, we don't bring this up enough, but you were a former city council member of Minneapolis, and that's why I like talking to you, because you're connected. You know the people, and I feel like I know them because I know you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I served on the Minneapolis City Council from 2001 to 2014. First tribal citizen ever elected to office, to any office in the city of Minneapolis. There's been 7, 8 since then to different offices. So I like to mark that progress, right? So, yeah.
Well, we like to talk about it as a glass ceiling kind of thing, really. I mean, that's – we're talking to history right now, and someone that well,
ancient
you know,
history. Ancient.
No. Ancient. We're the same age. I won't say that. But, you know, we talk about when we're 17 years old, and that was the first time we were able to practice our own religion in this country, mm-hmm. That we are, and things that we've gone through as young people, the American Indian movement. I mean, you know, half my family was pretending to be Italians until those guys came out and made us proud again.
Yeah, I was just having a conversation like that. So I think I'm a year older than you, if I'm not mistaken, Robert. So I graduated from high school in 1978, which was such a banner year for federal legislation, right? The Indian Education Act, the Indian Child Welfare Act. I mean, there's a ton that were passed right around in 78, 79. And all of a sudden you could see it and feel it in education. You know, they identified who the Native students were. You know, they honored us for Native students for graduating from high school. Stuff like that never happened before, at least not where I grew up.
Right, exactly. And again, like I say, some of my relatives were either Italian or Hispanic until these great things came out, because we felt like we were lower than some, and they treated us that way too. So a shout out to American Indian Movement, but also fast forward to 2016, Robert, and a shout out to the No Dapple experience. You know, I think the eighth fires went everywhere, including to this radio show.
Yeah, that was a pivotal moment, right? And, you know, I'm like you, I'm sure I talked to a lot of non-Native audiences, sort of about people want to know what's going on contemporary in the Native world and things. And I always do a little history from colonialism, you know, in about 5 minutes, you know, from colonialism to today. But I always mark the founding of American Indian Movement in 1968, and then the No Dapple movement, you know, and what that meant to the Native people here and Indigenous people globally, right? That that we could kind of go backward to go forward, and that we could come together in a peaceful, prayerful way, and it was so visible. Suddenly, America was seeing this on the news. High-profile celebrities were speaking out, and that was a game changer. You know, that really was.
And I think we're still feeling a lot of that, because we have authors that have, the book There, There came out about 2017 and 18. Right. And I talked to him, and he said, you know, I have had this book here for 7 years, and since Dapple, they've pushed it, and now they're pushing me. We have Reservation Dogs Lewis and I can't stop talking about. And then what was the other show again, Lewis?
Rutherford Falls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that one, too. If you watched episode 5 when the chairman of the Native place said he was not going to he turned off the microphone when he was being interviewed in that speech about why they're in gaming and isn't that against your way, and he turned off the recording and let this reporter, who used to be on Schitt's Creek, by the way, let him know why. And he basically said, I'm not going to stop until I get everything that was taken away from us. I talked to Bobby Wilson about that, Robert, and they said that it took 14 hours to write that speech.
Oh, well, that's something. That's something to know. Yeah, and then, you know, and then sort of locally, I always connect the movements to two things that happened here. One was the scaffold, the hideous sculpture installed at the Minneapolis Sculpture Garden at Walker Art Center, which was so offensive. But it mobilized the community, right? instantly in all sectors of the community, the artists, the activists, the radicals, the sort of boardroom people all had one message, right? Bring it down. And amazingly, it took 3 days for the Walker Art Center to decide to bring that down. And I just think that's the power of a unified message of a community that stands up together. On the inside, it was messy, right? It was sloppy. People were jockeying for position. Who had the most authentic voice? But when everyone stayed on that same message, bring it down, it came down.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say I was I forgot that NBC anchor, he said I was there. You guys remember that he got in trouble for saying he was there? But actually, I was there during that scaffold protest. And you know what I wanted to commend you both on is that we always talk about Indigenous American Indians. We're born with the blood of resistance. We're born with the blood of resistance from our ancestors and the resistance from settler colonial governments and constructs that we have to live by. So these type of achievements and, you know, the things that you've done, Robert Lilligren, and not only city council, but just your life, you know, Robert Pilot as well. I mean, we benefit from that in my generation, you know, as a late stage Gen Xer, as I would call myself. Because I saw at that scaffolding protest, I saw young Indigenous people speak up and say, you know what, I'm reconnecting, I'm new, but you know what, this is not right. This doesn't sit with me. There's no reason to have the 38+2, the largest mass hanging in United States government history, somehow an art piece in the state of Minnesota, Dakota Makoche, and we said no and they took it down. But also people say, we're going to burn the thing down. Right, I'm glad that didn't happen either.
Right. Those are on ones that the burn it down people, you know, it all the way through. But thanks for your kind words. And it's just the power of our community and especially young people. And this is all yours. You know, we're going to leave it to you, Lewis. So sorry. Right. Sorry. But the other thing that really was another point of connection I make here in the community is the Wall of Forgotten Natives, the massive occupation, the unsheltered homeless encampment at Franklin Avenue in Hiawatha, right in the heart of the Native community here. And it was so visible and such a emblem of failures of policies, practices. You know, I remember I was just telling the story because I still spend this whole week, I've been spending so much time. We have another massive unsheltered homeless encampment adjacent to where the wall was about the size, rivaling in size now, that encampment. It's not as Native as the wall was, but it's still predominantly, or a lot of Native people are there. So we're still dealing with the same stuff. But during the wall, it was the same thing. The community came together to care for our relatives living in this crappy little piece of MnDOT right-of-way and expressed to the outside world, you know, what these failures were. I was just talking today. And I was talking about when I appeared in front of the Minneapolis City Council. I wasn't serving anymore, but they wanted sort of a report on what was going on. And the Native community, Native orgs were the ones who were responding. We weren't getting any response from the city, county, state, or not much response. And I remember opening my remarks by saying something like, you know, this is the result of 5 centuries of genocide and forced assimilation. And if those are your objectives, this is what victory looks like. And I remember saying, congratulations on a job well done.
Yeah. You know,
and
wow.
About 5 minutes, we got some response. And now we're kind of back where we're not really getting the response that we need.
Speaking of which, Robert, I feel like we only got 2 minutes left here, but I feel like we were counted in this last census, and we voted like we have never voted before. And we have an election coming up in roughly 400 days, I've been talking about. And we need to really let people know that we're still here. And I know for us three, that's a cliche, but I need to keep saying that over and over again because we have to remind our relatives we're still here, Robert.
That's just it. And because there's this interest, because of the wall, because of the scaffold, because of Standing Rock, you know, I get to tell some of the story to more and more non-Native people. And invariably, the response is, why don't I know any of this?
Yeah.
You know, and these are young people, older people. Why don't I know any of this? Well, it's not an accident that you don't know any of this. And now you know. And so you can't go forward in ignorance anymore.
Right. And I really feel like our allies are coming, stepping up. I was at the Capitol during the peaceful part of that whole thing where we were talking or speaking our truth, and there was 3,000 people there, and it was a beautiful thing. So it's like the eighth fires from Standing Rock again, where we feel like we're being counted and that we're still here. And I think this show and you, Robert, and Lewis, and people that speak their truth is just reminding us that we have a collective power.
Considerable collective power.
Ooh.
Use it.
Right on. So, again, we didn't probably talk about what you wanted to talk about, but I got to tell you,
I stopped preparing for this because I used to do all this research and have all my facts, so I'd seem so smart spewing these numbers and things, and we never got to them. So I just wing it.
No, it's great, and I don't know. I enjoyed our conversation. Like, it did remind me of when we'd talk for a half hour before we did our pre-recorded spots, and I always appreciated that every week with you.
You got pretty deep and heavy.
Right on. Well, again today too, I appreciate you being on, and I won't be on next Thursday because I have political things to do, but. I'm sure Wendy and Ogama will be here to help you and Lewis.
So things will run more smooth.
Yeah. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Fatalities on Minnesota roads are reaching levels we have not seen in years. You can save lives and make a difference every time you go to work when you become a state trooper. Opportunities to work at the Capitol, on commercial vehicles, and so much more are available. Your experience, your voice, they matter. No prior law enforcement experience needed. All you need is a 2 or 4 year degree. Apply now at mntrooper.com. That's mntrooper.com. mntrooper.com.
Biju, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
I always love hearing that. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and it's always a couple of things make me smile, and that's one of them, Lewis.
Absolutely. This portion is brought to you by Howling for Wolves. Howling for Wolves, created to be a voice for wild wolves. We're committed to protecting wolves through education, grassroots, and advocacy. Woo! We have to do it. We just have to continue the tradition, Robert.
That's right. I was thinking as the break, and I'm going, wow, we have to do this even if they aren't sponsoring our show. I don't know how. Sometimes I think we should be doing it in each segment, but that's just
right.
Me.
Maybe we should pre-record the howl when they're not here.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we kind of got an open segment here, so give us a call at 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. 6205. It's always great to have a Robert on. And I had to throw in line three stuff too with our history, because that's really where we're at today, Lewis.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I wanted to touch on a little bit more, you know, how it's important for us as Indigenous activists and our allies, you know, the uphill climb that and the achievements that we've made. I mean, being, you know, activists in Indigenous issues, we get no media coverage. We get the least amount of coverage in radio, you know, any type of media. So we are the ones that have to promote our own voices. We are the ones that have to go out there and talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, relatives about things like Line 3, things like MMIW, missing and murdered Indigenous women, you know, the kids being found at these boarding schools. All these issues, it's upon us, and the commission is upon us to actually bring that out. Because honestly, Robert, no one has our back in the mainstream media when it comes to Indigenous issues. That's why Native Roots Radio and so many of our other Indigenous platforms are so important to talk about this stuff.
Speaking of which, people that are on TikTok, Lewis is on TikTok, and we've crossed paths over the years and haven't known that, but I was following Lewis on TikTok when Lewis reached out about the STAIN Act. And tell people how they can watch your awesome TikToks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to first uplift Robert and Wendy Pilot. Your show here, you know, birthed out of the Dakota Access Pipeline protest and continuing on today, is such an amazing thing. And I want to honor your time and effort being here first. But yeah, absolutely. You know, TikTok and other emerging social media is such a great way for Indigenous activists and our allies to get out there. And like I said before, spread the word on Line 3. You know, these broken treaties, the 1855 treaty with the Chippewa is what we're talking about when we're talking about Line 3. Honor the Earth, Winona LaDuke, Nancy Bolio, you know, all these amazing Indigenous women-led movements have been just paramount in getting the word out there. And on social media, on TikTok, you can find me at Lakota Guy, and I do a lot of Lakota history as well as history-keeping teachings, as well as getting the word out there. And it's amazing, Robert, to see these young people out there. And it's funny, one thing Robert won't tell you, but that I saw him at the Shakopee Mgwakaton Sioux Community Powwow, and I got to tell you, people were coming up to him, shaking his hand, these students here and there. And it's such an amazing thing. We get teachers like Robert Pilot, who spent decades at the St. Paul Public Schools, giving his time and energy to foster the new leaders that we need in Indigenous community, and just seeing them come up to you and shake your hand and telling you how you're doing, that kind of warms my heart, because, you know, you're fostering that new generation of leadership, Robert. And, you know, you don't only talk the talk here on Native Roots Radio, you walk the walk. And I appreciate that.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that. You know, it's always hard for me not to talk about my humility because I'm so proud of it. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I appreciate that. We have a caller on from Hopkins. Come on the show. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. What's up?
Hi, Robert. This is Maureen Hackett of Howling for Wolves. I just couldn't resist after you were doing such a great plug for us.
I want to first apologize for that.
Yes, we will keep sponsoring for sure. But I was calling because I did attend the Line 3 event at the Capitol, and it was beautiful. And, of course, it wasn't covered as much as it should be, or at all, maybe. But I didn't pay as much attention to the mainstream media on that. But what I had a question. I was speaking to Senator Marty at the event, and he said that his reading of the Environmental Review, which I'm not as familiar with, indicated that the expansion greenhouse gas effects, the increased greenhouse gas from the extraction, processing, and use of the expansion amount of Line 3 is equivalent to the entire greenhouse gas economy for Minnesota. So that by approving this project, we're actually doubling, if we're cooperating in doubling the amount of greenhouse gases from our state, theoretically, you know, if you were to equate that by allowing it to go through and expand.
Yeah. Yeah, we talk about that. And also, you know, it's great to hear from you. I mean, Wendy's usually on fighting the good fight. We're just so disappointed in Wisconsin and with their hunt. And I'm just so glad that we have you to fight for our wolves here in Minnesota.
If I could give you a plug for that, relistwolves.org, there's an action Minnesotans can take and an action the rest of the nation can take, because really the wolves are very much in a precarious, they could be completely decimated starting in the next few weeks, with not in Minnesota, but throughout the rest of the country. Western Montana, Idaho is set to egregious new hunting allowances, including trapping, snaring, awful things, just awful, wiping out 90% of the population targeted in Montana. So we're trying to get wolves relisted. So relistwolves.org, I would tell people to go and just take an action. Tell Biden that you really want the wolves protected. But my concern is that we've got this huge greenhouse gas fight. We've got this climate change issue, and we've got line three, which is the epitome of the, they're just continuing. I worry that the reason this project is, line three, is so hard to stop is that it's backed by a lot of very powerful corporate interests beyond even oil, including banking, and mm-hmm. that might be very much why this administration has not put the brakes on it.
Well, we know in the beginning when Biden was elected, I think her name was someone in his board owed $4 million of stock of Enbridge. And so we do need to follow the money. And, boy, we have to have you back on the show again, because this is the fight of our lifetime right now. And I'm so happy that you were at the Capitol with 3,000 other people speaking their truth.
It was beautiful. I do plan on fighting this more. I really do. I think sometimes I worry that, the wolves are kind of this pinnacle of where so many interests, come into play. But I do worry that, they do with one hand and keep us fighting about that while they're doing something else. And we have to be attentive to all of it.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you for calling in and saving us. Luis and I were going to mumble at each other, and thank you so much for calling in and speaking.
Oh, well, I really appreciate what you do. The other thing is the Biden administration just opened 80 million acres of the Gulf of Mexico for oil and gas leasing on August 31st, while the hurricane was hitting the Gulf region, Hurricane Ida. And Obama did the same thing in 2010, including Florida and he tried the California coast and the East Coast of the United States, March of 2010, April 2010, the oil spill, Macondo well blew and the Gulf oil spill, BP blew, basically. So that slowed it down.
Yeah, well, thank you for your update, and thank you for all you do for Native Roots Radio and the Wolves, Howling for Wolves.
You keep up the work.
Ho. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to us, and I want to give a shout out to Robert Lilligren and Lewis, we're still here. We are the seventh generation.